This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel Blank, Keenan McCardell, and Travis Johnson, along with Nick Sciarra, as we continue to talk about what you want to talk about, what happens to be the Houston Rockets in hour number one, with one in the books and two to go, still with plenty more show as we continue to roll on with Rockets talk. Nick, correction to the stat prior to the break.
Yeah, I was looking at the last three games, but it's actually only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 teams that can't average more than 100 points. They all are 99 or lower.
So that's my point, that's why I don't put a lot of stock in the 100 number, because so many teams with the style of play score 100 points. It's, like I said, when a team makes a run, can you get a stop? You know, whenever that happens during the game. And then in the fourth quarter, that's where at least it helps the Rockets that you got Beverly and Ariza. But I really, as Keenan and I were looking at over a lot of these teams, especially from a defense perspective, that are good defensive teams, they're all in the East. And the other big feature that they have is just that. They have big features. They have big guys. In Detroit, you got Aaron Baines. You've got Drummond.
Drummond.
So you got two bigs right off the top in Detroit. In Utah, Rudy Gobert, who's a paint protector and also has gotten a little bit more size. And then when you got Favors coming back, he's been out. When you bring Favors back, that helps them even more up front because he's a rebounder and he's a paint defender. Then you talk about teams in the East. Indiana, always big, always going to give you a lot of trouble because Eastern teams slow it down, muck it up, and pound the boards. That's where I'm worried about the Rockets. That's why I'm saying, whether you say that they need a low-post scorer or not, they also need a low-post defender, at least one, if not two. I'm sure they'll lean on Nene a little bit more, but he's on the downside, and he can only give you so many minutes. Capella's stringy. That doesn't help you when you got a Haas on the block, right, or a LaMarcus Aldridge, guys that are cagey veterans that have moves, that have been in the league experience. I don't see Clint Capella stopping those guys.
Yeah. No, I'm with you.
I'm with you. You know, even in the West with Memphis, you know, the Rockets will probably say, we will run Zach to death and make him tired. And then
stop Marc Gasol. Yeah,
and we'll run Marc Gasol also.
Right. So, and if they dictate tempo, you're screwed.
Right. And that's the thing that they have to do against Memphis. They would have to dictate the tempo.
And that's why I keep telling people, it's easy to dictate tempo in the regular season. In a 7-game series, when you can key on tape and know every tendency the team's going to run, that's why it gets slowed down in the playoffs. It's a different season all in itself, and that's why it's a different ball game. I don't think the fans are willing to accept that right now because they want to ride the high. Well, ride it. Enjoy the regular season. But I'm telling you, playoffs are going to be a different story. Alberto, you're on hold. You've been holding the longest. You want to talk. What's up, man?
Yeah, cool. Thanks. I just found this show. I'm actually kind of enjoying y'all, so I might be listening a lot more. But definitely, the Rockets, no doubt, this defense is important. And I haven't heard an argument about defense go down to points per game in a long time. Honestly, that kind of sounds pretty archaic right there. It's points per possession. We all know that's what the opponent's stat line is. And with the points scored and points per possession, which I think the Rockets have now cracked the top 20, I don't see a problem with this team going forward. You're right. The playoffs are different. You got to slow things down. And right now, we don't know if we can do it. But we'll have to find out. That's what it's going to come down to. We're going to have to find out if they can play it. That Brooklyn game, what won the game? Defense at the end, yeah. They were coming back. They came up.
That was the Beverly and Ariza stops? Was that when Beverly and Ariza got the stops?
Yeah. Yep. No, didn't Nene get the stop on Brooke Lopez?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Ariza and Beverly were big. That was the game I was trying to remember after the OKC game when Beverly got the stop on Westbrook. But here, Alberto, let me just tell you this. You say they cracked the top 20. There's only 16 playoff teams. So there's that. So from a defensive perspective alone, they're four out of the playoffs. When you get into the playoffs, you get the best defensive teams for the most part. That's where I'm concerned about whether you do it points per possession or, like I said, whenever there's a run made or in the fourth quarter, like we saw with them the other night. Those were guards and small forwards making stops. In the playoffs, the bigs are going to have to do the same thing.
And Alberto, think about the championship series with Golden State and Cleveland. What did Cleveland do late in the game? Slowed it down, backed LeBron down, mismatches him against Curry. They slowed the game down. So the Rockets are going to have to figure this out. Not now, but late in the playoffs, they're going to have to figure out how to play half-court defense because teams are going to say, well, we're going to stop them from running. Good teams say, we're going to take something away. They're going to take the running game away from the Rockets and make them play half-court defense and play half-court offense. See, can they execute on the defensive end?
You got any more thoughts, Alberto? No, he does not.
I guess not. Alberto, thanks for the call, man. Good call. And this one I already know is knowledgeable because this is the queen of the Red Rowdies, Maya. Maya, welcome to the show. What's up?
Hey, thank you for that lovely introduction, Joel.
You got it.
I want to play devil's advocate if I can.
Sure,
I know
why
our
not?
Defense is not the best, but when you do play in the playoffs, you have the opportunity to just concentrate on who you're trying to stop. And I feel like with the defensive tendencies, the little bright spots we have seen with the Rockets, with Beverly, with Ariza, I feel like they're going to concentrate even harder on their opponent. And when you have that same matchup, seven games, you have a better opportunity, in my opinion, to respond you have a better opportunity to make those adjustments. But I trust that this staff will make those adjustments. I am really pleased with the way the team is playing now. And I kind of feel like last year we would have had a lot of games like Brooklyn we would have lost because they mentally weren't focused. They appear to be way more focused mentally this year. And I have a feeling that's going to carry through the playoffs.
I mean, you know what? I'm with you. They have a defensive coordinator. He's going to sit them down. They're going to go through the film room and do the things that they have to do. But, you know, I would like to see them prepare for this, for that time right now and during the season.
Point.
I mean, you have to start showing people that you can do it. It's just not going to pop up and happen in the playoffs. I mean, even though everybody thinks it'll pop up, you have to, as my old coach say, if they don't go through the situation, they won't be able to execute the situation.
Exactly.
So they have to show me. Yeah, they got to show me that they can do it.
I agree. I'm not saying that they don't. This practice makes perfect. And who's to say? You know, this is still very early in the season. Who's to say we won't start seeing those?
And Maya, what I said was, look, you know, Daryl always makes at least one move at the trade deadline. So it's very possible that they can add someone that can assist in this. But my point being in the break to these guys that I want to tell you guys about too is what I'm trying to say is enjoy the regular season now. But when you get to the playoffs and it's a seven-game series and everybody can focus and you can go over tape and you've got, you know, and you know every strength and weakness of the team you're playing against, it becomes so much more difficult than the regular season when you see a team once and don't see them again for another month or so. That's when it's more magnified than ever before, so you've got to have experience and practice with it before you get to that point, or there's really going to be no way that you're going to execute it well.
This is true, and I don't think that they're naive to that. I mean, it is. You look at D'Antoni and his success, or not lack thereof, in the finals, and I mean with his other teams. I personally kind of feel like maybe he falls into that same category, but I don't know if he ever had a defensive coordinator like he has now. So I'm trying to give it, you know, trying to be a little bit more positive.
No, but here's the thing. But like I told you, be positive now because this is a ride that you didn't expect to be on. 14 of the first 20 on the road, and to come out of it the way they've come out of it, now winning 8 in a row and sitting where they're sitting, enjoy the hell out of it if you're a Rockets fan. I'm just saying, don't enjoy it to the point where you ingest enough Kool-Aid that you think this team is championship caliber ready right now. Because you can score as many points as you want, but in the playoffs, you have to play both sides of the ball, and there's other elements that come into it that I just want you to be aware of.
This is true. You have a point on the down. We need a defender in the paint. I don't doubt that. I would never say that we don't. I'm looking at how Golden State matched up against the Spurs, and they had size. So the Spurs and good defensive tendencies, but what mattered in the end was the pace and the ability to score. The tempo, and I kind of feel like that's what we have an advantage of, and I kind of feel like that's what's going to take us over if we're going to, you know, be a championship level team.
Maya, we appreciate the call as always. Thanks for the great contributions. You already got a chair in the living room.
Yeah,
you know that.
You know what? I like the fact that our last two calls were women. I think that to me, I love that.
Alberto was a woman.
We had Alberto three callers ago. Then we had two ladies.
We went from Alberto to Maya.
Hey, that
is that what we had?
Keenan, did you hit him above the shoulder pads on the last break?
Hey, man, you remember he has a concussion.
That's what I'm saying.
You know, we're fine. Maya,
I missed out.
Maya, you got to realize I'm a big Rockets fan. I love that. I love that you're so knowledgeable about your team and. You know what? I just have to give you kudos again for that.
You should see her. Her Twitter handle is Fan of Jay Blank. She's always been one of my favorites because
you're a fan.
Yeah, she's followed me all through Rockets days, and she knows her stuff.
I don't know.
By the way, we're gonna call him the Big C from now on because the Big C next to me somehow thought we had two women callers in the same segment. Alrighty. So yeah, we've had knowledgeable callers and not so knowledgeable comments from our esteemed panel, and we're ready for more talk. We're just gonna take a quick break. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey fans, want to remind you Gallery Furniture is the perfect place to do your holiday shopping for a limited time. You buy a Macapedic mattress for $19.99. or more, and you get a Gallery Furniture $800 furniture gift card free. So you take $800 right off the top from a $19.99 or more purchase. Think about the money you're saving and the extra things you can get. Three locations for Gallery Furniture, by the way, Post Oak, and also out on Grand Parkway, as well as the original location, I-45 North, at Tidwell Parker. Yep. Save on Made in America solid wood furniture, 2-for-1 recliners, and Macapedic sleep sets. Gallery Furniture offers the largest selection of living room furniture made in America. Enhance your home with solid wood dining room tables and chairs from Gallery Furniture, and you know what they do. Buy today, get it tonight. Deck your home theater just in time for big football games, including that big one coming up in Houston. You can get your man cave decorated to the T with the best furniture and electronics at Gallery Furniture. Gallery Furniture, the largest selection of Made in America leather seating and special order upholstered furniture for your home theaters. You get to Gallery Furniture, who are open late every single night through the holidays. Gallery Furniture absolutely really will save you money. And Travis, yes, I know my voice is better. So buy today, get it tonight. Gallery Furniture absolutely really will save you money. No back order slips. Buy today, get it tonight. I-44 North, exit Tidwell Parker.
That's an FF Friday for you guys.
No question. That had me geek right there.
Yeah, we know Mac will take care of you.
Oh, Mac, you know what? It's funny because my daddy asked me last night. Say, hey man, you know them chairs you got in the theater room? Because I bought him two chairs that Mac had sent to L.A. I told you about. Mm-hmm. He's like, hey man, you think you still got some of those chairs? I said, he probably got those same chairs or some new ones, of course. I said, man, we can go by there anytime. He was like, I said, man, don't worry, Mac will take good care. Mac always take care of us. I get a nice little discount on the end of my.
Well, and the other thing is service after the sale. And I both talked about. We made purchases and then had things come up or different things happen, and he was quick to say, we'll fix it, replace it, send somebody else out.
Right there.
I told you, like, my wife loved the fact that I was, because of my back problems, you know, I'm always over at the athletic room getting treatment. I'm always getting stretched inside the cryo with Ray Wright. You know, you remember Ray Wright?
Yes, sir.
With Ray Wright and Kylie Wong over at the athletic room. And literally, I always have to have something done in my back. My back has to get attended all the time. And I remember calling Matt because I said, man, my Tempur-Pedic is acting up a little bit. And he was just like, all right, well, what you want? What you want me to do with it? And I was like, well, I'm just trying to figure out, you know, if I need a receipt or something to call Tempur-Pedic and have Tempur-Pedic send it in. And he was like, oh, don't even worry about it. I have somebody pick it up. You going to be home in 2 hours? I'm like, yeah, I'll be home in 2 hours. And they literally bought me over a brand new $10,000 Tempur-Pedic mattress.
Unreal. Unreal. That's fantastic. Yeah, that's the way they do things. I mean, you know, Houston owned and operated means something, too. I mean, everybody's trying to do shopping on the internet. When you talk about something as important as furniture, like bedroom furniture, your mattress, or the couches that you're going to use when you're watching TV, you don't do it off the internet. You don't do it for the time saving. You can save time just by going to one stop to do all your shopping if it's the right stop, and it's Gallery Furniture. So as we will always tell you, you go to see Mac, you go to Gallery Furniture, he won't steer you wrong. So after concussion protocol in the last break, we do seriously believe Travis does not have double vision anymore, and he is dialed in. So we welcome him back to the show, and we thank the two female callers that turned into one. And we've talked enough. We talked a lot about the Rockets. You know, a lot of people, by the way, on Twitter were, again, this is what I'm talking about. When we have, and I tell people this all the time, when you have a discussion, it's because people are open to both sides, and we talk it through. And you may not come to a conclusion, but when people want to start by, you know, pointing fingers, taking shots, it gets you absolutely nowhere, and you can't have an educated discussion. What you have is an argument because people get ticked off. And you know, there were so many people chiming in, you know, with Nick and Keenan talking about the teams, and a lot of people, you know, talking about the fact that, well, Detroit, Memphis, or Utah won't win anything. Well, I'm sorry, but right now the Rockets aren't predicted to win anything either. It's just that simple.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah, very true. I mean, very true. I just like the fact that people want to give, that people want, God bless you, too.
Excuse me, yeah, I hit the wrong button.
Yeah, it's all right. But, I mean,
can you get that lady on caller one, Nick?
I just want people, like I said, I just want people to have more discussions instead of talking down. Like, I got a guy right now tweeting me about something we said earlier, or was it last week, earlier in the week? And Keenan's coached on every level.
Yep.
And when I said the other day that second down was a waste down, you know what I mean? As far as depending on the down and distance, it's a waste down. Depending on what you can do anything with the down. And he was like, oh, no, you come. And so we had the defensive talk earlier. And the guy goes, oh, coming from a guy who thinks second down is worthless, is pointless. I said, that's not what I said. I said it's a waste down. If you understand football talk, you would understand that I could do anything. If it's second and three, second and five, I can run anything in my playbook.
Right.
Because at the end of the day,
you still got another down coming up.
You still got another down. It's going to be third and five.
And I'm in front of the sticks. So
exactly.
I'm in front of the down marker. So that's,
well, and that's my point on what I was dealing with the Rockets people. They were pointing fingers and telling me I was not knowledgeable, and then they weren't listening. If they had listened to the show and then hear what was said, not what you wanted to hear or what you thought you heard, hear what was said, you'd realize I watch every game. I know what's going on.
Yeah. Well, right? it's like getting an argument with your wife. You know what I mean? Like, she already knows what she want to hear. You already know what you want to hear. And no matter what comes out of his or her mouth, you're going to sit there and be like, no, that ain't what you said. And you're going to keep arguing just to argue instead of, you know what? You might have a point there.
That's what I'm saying. It becomes a discussion.
You have to listen. You know,
when you listen,
the wise always
when
say
you listen,
don't listen,
and you can, you're open to the fact that who you're talking to may also have a legitimate point, it becomes a discussion. If you get annoyed, it becomes an argument. And that can happen a lot, as we know, in relationships. As I love you, honey. As well as, you know, in sports talk. So, you know, with all that being said, too, I mean, look, and that's why I chuckle at Twitter. You know, you got a guy like Cody, who's a huge Bills fan, which is his problem. But now, you know, he wants to go back to the whole, it's a F-E-F Friday, because it's not my fault that you need a Q-tip and to clear the wax out of your ears, that I've been calling it an F-Yeah Friday for how long? Yeah. Barry happened to be one of those guys, too, that had to bring it up. Barry's the one that said he thought it was I thought you were saying it's an F-E-F Friday. F-F, and I'm like, okay.
F-E-F? What does F-E-F stand for?
Well, it doesn't matter. That's what they thought I was saying. So that's why I enunciate clearly, and Keenan and I always have a joke that I have to, on the first time I say it, say F-H-E-A-H, F-Yeah Friday. For football, fantasy, fun, whatever.
No.
F it. So that's, we can do that too. So why don't we take Bryson, who still wants to talk about the Rockets. What's up, Bryson?
What's going on? How y'all doing?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm doing well. I was just calling you, and I was listening to you guys talking about the Rockets team defense. And I just added you on Twitter. I'm a Red Nation blogger.
Cool.
And I was just telling you, you know, defense necessarily with this Rockets team is not going to be the strong suit. So, like, everybody needs to get that out of their mind right now. But the one thing that the Rockets can't do is get situational stops. So when the team is making a run, you stop the bleeding. You come back with your run. You know, especially when it comes playoff time. Like, the guy that called during the Nets game, they got a steal. They got a block by Trevor Ariza. They got a steal by Patrick Beverly. And to your guy's point, when he was talking about how Cleveland beat Golden State, is by switches. Cleveland nor Golden State, the last two teams to win the championship, neither of them have a low post score. Neither. So to say that that's what the Rockets need.
Wait a minute, though. Wait a minute. Wait. You can't say they didn't have a low post score. They didn't have a natural low post score. They had Bogut. They had Festus Ezeli. But more importantly than anything else, with the suicide lineup, Draymond Green, especially with matchups, was a low post scorer. And I'm not saying he has to go down there and do it 10 or 15 times in a row, but when they needed a bucket, they'd put him on the block, and athletically and strength-wise, he could take guys to the rim.
Well, I won't say Capella is that by any stretch of the imagination, okay. But I have seen Clint Capella score off the post. Now, you're not going to feed Capella more than 5 to 6 times in a game, especially not in the playoffs. You're not going to do that. But he is competent. You know, I mean, he can do something on the post. He is an admiration on defense, especially on the low post. If he can't handle Brook Lopez in the playoffs, when you place even better bigs in the West, it's going to be an issue. But
that's my point. That's my point. When you're saying, so people just need to get that out of their mind. For the regular season, they can get it out of their mind, but if you do have aspirations of this team doing something in the playoffs, you're going, like you just said, they're going to have to stop people on one end, and they're going to have to defend. So as much as, like you said, and I mentioned earlier, the Ariza stops, the Beverly stops, those are the things that you're getting out of your smalls, but you're going to have to get those out of your bigs too.
I agree. You know, I've been seeing the Rockets do a lot of different things defensively this year. I've seen them double team the post more than I've seen them do since, even back to going back to Kevin McHale. I mean, when LaMarcus Aldridge gave the Rockets 40 in back-to-back games, they didn't double team until like game 2. And so everybody was like, why are you not double teaming? And then they, you know, you just have to rotate. You just have to figure something out. Right now, we're in December, early December at that. So it's just, they have a lot of time to figure this out. So to just write them off, you know.
No one's writing them off. We're just telling you, from my standpoint, I'm not writing them off. I'm just saying these are the things that they need to focus on now if they plan on going somewhere later. Bryson, we appreciate the call, man. Don't be a stranger. Thanks for adding us on Twitter. Hey, we've got a good conversation going on so far, halfway through the show. And at the midway point, we've gotten a lot of basketball out of the way. Still got a lot of football to get to and a lot of other things. If there's something on your mind, 713-780-ESPN or hit us up on Twitter. We're here till 4, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, gang, before we get any further, I want to mention it's the weekend. It's football season, as we all know. Between bowl games and big NFL games, you're probably going to be kicking it at the house and you want some good grub. I keep telling you, if you're in the Sugarland area, check out Falbo Brothers. Falbo Brothers Pizza, from deep dish and stuff to thin crust. We've all had it. We all love it. We want to tell you about it, and we're going to give you a special deal. If you hit up Falbo Brothers this weekend, tell them you listen to ESPN 97.5 and the Joel Blank Show. Tell them Joel sent you in. They're going to give you either 25% off one pizza or buy one, get one free at Falbo Brothers. So you can load up for the football games this weekend. It's takeout only, not dine in. But I'm telling you what, my choice for the best pizza in this city, check out Falbo Brothers right there at Sweetwater Boulevard and 59.
Not to put you on the spot, but do we know, like, it's literally any size, buy one, get one free?
Yeah, he's my man Hani, Hani. You can ask for him. He runs the spot. He told me last night on the phone, you make up whatever deal you want and I'll honor it. So I'm telling everybody, buy one at 25% off or buy one, get one free for two. How about that? Just mention Joel and ESPN 97.5.
You got clout, don't you?
Boy, you got big clout.
You got big clout.
I'm start calling you.
I got more pull than the Dirty Bird in Atlanta.
Hey,
that
was a good one. That's a nice one.
He said more pull.
I got more pull than Jamal Anderson. How about that?
While he was tugging away inside of the AMPM or whatever it was, like, what are you doing?
You know what his favorite vessel is? A tugboat. All righty. So with that being said, we got plenty to get to, and I wanted to get you guys on a couple of things. And I know that we still we've got plenty to get to football-wise. But first of all, the Michael Floyd thing. Now, we all know and have been in team situations in sports and professional sports where we know, hey, these things are going to happen. Your guys' thoughts, one, on what the Cardinals did And is there more to it? Are they just – would they – my question was, would they have done it if they were leading the leading their division right now? And then also, from a Patriots perspective, again, there's a team that just swoops in and could make this a huge pickup.
You know what? I think they were really fed up with Michael Floyd the way he was playing.
Yeah.
I mean
– a lot of drops.
A lot of drops. Hadn't lived up to the billing that – you know, they thought that he was supposed
to. First-round pick, right?
Yeah, first-round pick. You know, and he's not playing well this year. He didn't play well last year. They're not playing well. So, you know what? Let's cut our losses. Let's go in a different direction. I mean, and it happens. I mean, if he's having a 1,000-yard season, maybe it doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. But that's just the NFL.
But if they're in first place, does it happen?
It probably happens. Even if they're in first place and he's playing the way he's playing this year and has been playing this year, it definitely he's cut because you know Larry's on his last leg. Let's just be honest.
Yeah.
And he's playing out of
his mind. He's a slot receiver now, right?
Yeah, he's playing out of his mind right now at his age, and they are counting on him to be the next number one for them, and he's not.
Yeah, not at all.
Not at all. And
John Brown, you got a lot of small guys. Yeah, small guys. Yeah,
he's a big body. There's no doubt about it.
So,
and you're talking about Larry Fitzgerald, by the way, just to make sure
we're talking about the Arizona Cardinals, Larry Fitzgerald. Yeah. And so they're saying, okay, Larry Fitzgerald is about to end his career. Maybe not this year. Maybe not next year. But in the next three years. So Michael Floyd, you got to step in and show us that you are our number one, and then we can draft another one. But the way you're playing and what you're doing off the field, maybe the problem that you're playing so bad. So if you're doing all this, we might as well cut ties now and let's start over in the draft to get us. Let's draft us a number one, or in free agency, use your money to go get one.
Exactly. And you know, but I think the positive part is he's going to a place where everybody leave, regardless if you in that locker room, you're not in that locker room. The standard is the standard. And you know good and well, they're going to hold you to it. And so it's going to give them a little act right. You know what I mean? It's going to give them that where I got to fall in line. I got to learn my playbook. I got to do. And we're going to find out right now whether or not he's a smart player, whether or not he can run his routes correctly, whether or not he can be where he say he's going to be and do the things that he says he's going to do. Because if not, this is a make or break for his career. He can either step up and make a whole lot of plays and he'll be in the league for another 10 years or he's going to fail and he'll be out of the league in the next 12 months.
And this is classic New England. Because this is classic New England where
I got a first round pick for nothing.
Yeah, no risk and a huge reward on the upside if he pans out.
My thing is this. He's on the waiver wire and the Browns pass him up. And I'm looking at the Browns like, okay, you got Terrell Pryor, Coleman. Why not add Michael Floyd?
And if you ain't got nobody giving the ball, it don't matter who you got out there running routes.
It's for next year.
True.
So you're going to go get one. So my question is, I mean, he's been a legitimate number two in the league before.
Yeah.
The two guys that they have right now are trying to be those guys, trying to be a number two, trying
Terrell Pryor was trying to say he's a receiver in the league.
Yeah. So why not get Michael Floyd off waivers? You're the first claim. You have the first claim. So pick him up, put him in the mix, and it makes your team better. But you know what?
I know he's thanking God right now.
Yes, that he's not going to Cleveland because he's going to have an opportunity to win the Super Bowl, get in the playoffs, and win the Super Bowl.
And play with Tom Brady. And regardless of, I mean, how much time he could – and they picked him up on waiver, so they have the rights to his contract basically as well. So, I mean, regardless is he looking at – if I play well enough and they don't renew me, at least I look good for somebody else. And maybe, and tell you the truth, if he likes it up there, he might stay and not get as much money, but he knows if Bill Belichick's like, I mean, it's like Kevin Falk.
Kevin Falk was never the highest. Staple of a Patriots team to do something like this, and it'll work out.
Yeah.
And
because they know that there is no wiggle room, right? Yeah. They've already screwed up to the point where they've been embarrassed publicly.
No doubt.
But if they come in and they mind their P's and Q's and do what they're supposed to do their job, they could be there a long time, winning a lot of games.
You just got to deal with what's going on. You follow the rules, go out and play.
But it's not that hard. When you're a pro, you've been there before, and like you said, you've been on both the player end and the coach end. And I think that's the most disappointing thing is I've never had a problem with meeting time. You say, why was you late for your meeting?
Yeah.
Why didn't you show up for practice? OTAs, why you couldn't be here? Why you couldn't, like, I never had patience for that when I looked at even young guys, and you come in and say, you couldn't be here when you were supposed, like, this is your only job. You got 9 months of this. Your wife shouldn't be, you shouldn't be out here chasing around your kids and none of that. You got 9 months to make your money.
It's big time,
nine
guys.
Months to be on time.
That's why you don't get that anywhere else, because that's why we do what we do here. We have a lot more show to get to. When we get back, I'm going to talk about Richard Sherman and what went down last night. And another thing that's probably going to take more than a segment, we break down what's going on at the University of Minnesota right now with their football team, and we're going to give you some insight that you don't know and probably haven't gotten anywhere else that's going to make you probably think about this thing a whole lot differently than you probably did when you read it for the first time. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel Blank, Keenan McCardell, and Travis Johnson with Nick Sherrod right behind the glass as we have the F Yeah Friday on a four-way Friday with four of us involved in the mix. We're talking some good talk about football as we change gears a little bit from basketball to football, and we covered the Michael Floyd situation. I wanted to get your guys' take, too, as I watched that unfold last night with Daryl Bevel and Richard Sherman and Pete Carroll and the Seahawks. Your thoughts on, from a player's perspective and a former NFL player perspective, on Richard Sherman, and I take it everybody saw it. Before we get to it, Nick, let me just kind of give an overview, and you can run his post-game quotes. But essentially what happened was the Seahawks were about to throw the ball down in the red zone with 1 yard to go, and Richard Sherman didn't like it. And he voiced his opinion seemingly very boisterously to Pete Carroll and I guess evidently either through the headsets or otherwise to Daryl Bevel, the offensive coordinator. They tried to pound the football. They didn't get it the first time, but they did get it the second time. And after the game, they caught up with Richard Sherman, in which he made no bones about the fact that he was very pleased with what he did, and he would do it again.
I don't like when we throw the ball at the one. We throw an interception at the one. You know, luckily it went incomplete, and I wasn't going to let them continue to do that.
Were you having that chat with Bevel, or who were you?
I was letting Pete know.
Oh, you were? Oh.
Yeah, I was making sure Pete knew that we're not comfortable with you throwing the ball at the one.
And how'd that go for you?
It went great. They ran the ball the next play. He got stuffed, and then they figured out a way to get in the end zone.
There's a head coaching position available.
You know, hey, come on now. I'm always available. Make sure the pay is right.
Do you feel like, you know, the players don't usually scream at coaches for certain calls? Is that your place to do that, you think?
100%. 100%. We go out there. We sacrifice. We battle. You don't give away our battle. You don't. You honor our sacrifice.
And that's where I really wanted to get your guys' take. You agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, from the 1 yard, if you got
no, the last quote.
You honor our sacrifice.
No. That he 100% believes
he's the captain.
That he can go and that because they bat, that he can go to the coaching staff. He's
a captain on the team. He can't tell them what to run, but he can tell them, I strongly advise. You know what I mean? And that's what he basically told them. We don't feel comfortable. It costs us a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm.
I think that's the reason why he's stepping up to say something, because, you know, you got the best back in the league probably, you know, with Marshawn Lynch, and they threw the ball.
I totally agree, in the Super Bowl.
But my thing as an offensive guy, I don't care. I don't tell you not to stop playing cover zero.
I was
going
to say, for him to come from one end of the sideline down to the offensive side of the ball and tell them what to do. I understand quietly or after the fact, whatever, but it was the only game going, national TV. Obviously, that's why we're talking about it and everybody else saw it. But is that the right thing to do? Because just like you guys are paid to play, they're paid to coach, you're challenging them.
No,
aren't you?
You are collective in the preparation. Mm-hmm. And you would think that, you know, from my mistakes on the field, I learn from those mistakes and try to do it different. From your mistakes as a coach from the booth, you should also learn to do something different. The running back that they have is a very good running back. And the offensive line they have is pretty good. So if you can't get 1 yard, I mean, you can't get 1 yard against who you played against. I mean, and granted, they have one of the better D-lines in the league.
Good D-line.
So that is one of the reasons why I understood why they were – why. And really, their back end is pretty solid, too. Their whole defense is pretty solid for the most part in St. Louis. I just think the brashness of it, I think they should have kept it. Even when they asked him, I think he should have been like, oh, no, me and Pete just had a conversation. You didn't have to tell everybody what went on.
You don't have to tell everybody what goes on. I mean, you've been the captain. You know, some things you just keep in the locker room between you and the coaches. Mm-hmm. I mean, and Pete would respect that. And now you're putting Pete on the spot in his press conference. And you know what? I think, you know, as I tell people all the time, you know, you got to honor the sacrifice, yeah. But what he's probably trying to say is that this offensive unit has gone against us as a defensive unit, and they've gotten it in enough.
So they should be able to get it.
They should be able to get it in against the Rams.
Well, all due respect. Remember, I said all due respect.
With all due respect, that's how you come in there and say that.
In the words of Ricky Bobby, remember, I said all due respect. their D line can't hold a candle to St. Louis' D line.
And that's a big statement. But that's the way they think in Seattle. We got the best defense. We play physical. If our offense can get it in on us in practice, then they should be able to get it in against the Rams.
That's all good. But when you look at the number, like, they don't have nobody like Aaron Donald on that team.
Aaron Donald is a grown man.
Yep. They don't have nobody like Michael Brockers on the inside.
Yeah, they were highlighting it last night. Brockers was having a great year.
They don't have, like, that D line right there is 100% goons. When I tell you inside them trenches, I love watching those guys. It disappointed me when I thought they should have kept Chris Long. I thought Chris Long.
Yeah, I thought so too.
He was an added addition. He was a special part of this defense.
Yeah, exactly.
He gave him the speed, what we were talking about with Chris Long. Patriots always swoop in to get guys like that.
But see, Chris Long, it was different. Chris Long was never an issue.
No, not with, he's never been an issue. No. But this is what the Patriots love. Where they can get on the cheap, or they can get a no risk, high reward.
Everybody knew Chris was going to be on the cheap anyway. Right. For the simple fact is he's been banged up, and Chris wasn't concerned with money. Chris's first contract in the league was for almost $40 million.
Big.
You know what I mean? Then he read up a few years after that for another $40 million. So he's not really tripping about the money. He wants to win games. Right.
Super Bowl. He wants to win a Super Bowl
because he's been in
St. Louis/LA. St. Louis.
He was in St. Louis for 7 years, and he's looking at it like, I'm tired of losing. So I'll take a $2 million a year contract to win games instead of continue to be to lose ball games out here.
Yeah, so I mean, that was, to me, it was just interesting because I still got a little bit of the red ass because of Sherman's cheap shot in the Green Bay game. So
the Green Bay
I just think sometimes he gets just a little too involved. But you know what?
He's working on the Seahawks.
Obviously have a different operational system than most teams. Pete accepts a lot, is very open to discussions and things like that, and expressions with his players, and I think that's why I got away with it.
But at the end of the day, Pete's going to make that final decision,
exactly,
too. I mean, he's open to it, but at the end of the day, he makes that
because the argument is Daryl Bevel's made a ton of great calls because he's being rumored for a lot of coaching jobs. But the flip side is you can go back to the Super Bowl and say there's one he'd probably like to have back.
That's the player that will always haunt him.
Yeah, no question about it. Well, following the rest of his career.
Yeah. Yes, it's going to follow
whether
the rest of his career.
Whether it's right or wrong,
right or wrong. But I always say, you know what? They've done it before. Everybody always. That's like the rule. Like, it's hard to pass the ball from inside the five because you got 22 bodies.
It's congested
inside a 15 yard window, and everybody's moving fast and getting places faster. You know what I mean? So, yeah, yes and no. I mean, if they would have scored, then everybody would be like, oh, that was a great call,
great play action call by Daryl Bevel.
But when you look at the film and you know. That's like the go-to route on the goal line. Everybody does it, and 9 times out of 10, it gets, like we mentioned last time, Arizona, it got picked off by Debo.
Right.
We can keep going down the list, and it's continued to get, and it has the same results.
Dominic, you want to get in on this? What's up?
So as soon as he said absolutely about the Richard Sherman thing, I immediately had to call. So to relate it to something, I was executive chef of a place, right? And changed jobs, became less of that. And I respect the position that I'm in now.
Were you a sous chef?
I don't understand how we can, how you can say that he shouldn't respect Mr. Carroll's position. You know what I'm saying?
And we never said he shouldn't respect it. We said
that's what you were saying.
No, that's not what I was saying. I said he has the right to speak his voice and to be heard.
But publicly?
Why not?
Well,
I'll take it to your kitchen. If you're the executive chef and your sous chef has a better idea for what should go on the menu that day because you have a evaluator, you have a big client coming in, and he says this to you in front of the whole group and everybody enjoys cooking that meal, why wouldn't you listen to him? If you trust what he does in your kitchen, you trust what he does in your house, why wouldn't you listen to somebody that you, for one, have in that position, for two, gave that captaincy or the S for sous chef, why wouldn't you respect his opinion in front of everybody else?
Well, yeah, for sure. Listening to someone's opinion is one thing, but I think we all know Richard Sherman's ways that he goes about certain things, right? I mean, you know, he's got his little outspoken things. He's got his little cardboard cutouts, and it's all cute and stuff. But once you start, more than just voicing your opinion, it's more of a disrespectful thing. I mean,
oh, he got to stay in his place.
I got a question for you. If that was Ray Lewis, would that be disrespectful also?
Done in the same way, dude. I don't know. Ray Lewis is a monster.
And so is Richard Sherman.
Richard Sherman is.
I mean, I think from the standpoint of even me not happy with what Richard Sherman did last week, you still can't take away he's one of the best cover corners in the game.
And going through what they went through in the Super Bowl, wouldn't you be like, Coach, let's run the football, right? Wouldn't you say that?
The only thing,
it's just harsh to do in
the public
ways that he does. I guess
you just didn't want it done in the public, right?
I don't mind it being done in the public. I just don't. The only thing I have the issue with was him telling the press what exactly the conversation was about.
Right.
Well, here's the other thing. I would rather it wasn't demonstrative. I would rather it's not demonstrative. Dominic, thanks for the call. But the big thing to me is that it's the Rams. You know, you can still use it as a teaching tool for later in the year and go and do it on the side as opposed to, like I said, out in the open. We shouldn't even be talking about it. If they had done it a different way, we wouldn't even be talking about this, and it would have gotten it done anyway.
But here's the thing, Joe, is that they were in a dogfight at the time. It still wasn't – the score wasn't – it wasn't blown out like what the score said. They were still in a defensive dogfight with these guys where the score was, 10-3 at one point.
They were up 7.
And, yeah, you up 7, and all of a sudden you get a pick. You throw a pick on the one, and Alec Ogletree picks that sucker off. Nobody on that offense is going to catch him, not even Russell Wilson. Because when he gets to going, it's over with.
Yeah.
So now all of a sudden it's a 10-10 game. Now the offense has to be called different.
And ultimately he was asked about it, right? I mean, Richard has to make a decision.
Do I
come out and
answer and say and be honest? Right. And he chose
to be honest.
He's
always going
to
be
honest. We know he's going to be honest.
He's going to be honest.
So one thing you're going to get from Richard Sherman, you also get from us every single day, and that's straight out honesty and the best opinions on sports we can give you when we talk about it with you. Monday through Friday, 1 to 4, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar. I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.